I would ask you to take your Bibles on and turn to the book of Job, chapter number 14. Tonight we're going to begin a short series that I'm going to do from time to time that's entitled Overcoming Life Problems. And we're going to look at this in a various number of ways. Tonight we're going to look at it in a very general way, but we want to look at it by examining and asking the question, why me, Lord? And in Job, the 14th chapter and verse 1, we read, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. In life, God never has told us that we will not have difficulty, that we will not have adversity, that we will not have problems that will plague us as we sojourn upon this earth. The Bible tells us in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 45 that it rains on the just and the unjust. God never promised us a bed of roses, but he did promise us that life cannot overcome us, that it cannot defeat us, that it cannot rob us of eternal glory unless we allow it to, and unless we allow it to disillusion us, to discourage us, and to weaken our resolve to live for God despite the infirmities and difficulties of life that all of us must endure from time to time. But sometimes these difficulties and obstacles in life, instead of strengthening us, they discourage us, they disillusion us, and they weaken our resolve to live for God. That is not what they should do, but reality tells it that sometimes they do. And so we understand that the problems of life are many and varied. But yet all problems and all adversity can be traced back to man's greatest problem, and that is the sin problem. When you try to make tracks, or when you try to trace the reason that we have suffering and misery and sickness and adversity, and when you try to find the source of all of that, it will always lead back to the pathway of sin. It is because of disobedience. It is because man chose to do that which God commanded him not to do. And because of that, it opened the floodgates to the thing that we know as sin. And sin has brought all kinds of calamity and all kinds of discomfort and discouragement to man. And as long as he lives upon the face of this earth, that will never change. But God has promised that he will help us overcome and to deal with this if we have faith and if we trust him. We also have problems with self. Sometimes there are problems that we induce upon ourselves. I remember when I was in the military, one of the things that I had to do as an instructor, I had to go to and do a course down in Washington State. And one of the things that I had to go through in that course was a experience in a POW camp. Now, I could think of a lot of things that I would rather do than do that, but it was part of the training. And so I went, it was 48 hours, and that was 48 hours too long. But one thing I learned in that, those 2 days, many of the things that we place upon ourselves are stress and difficulties that are self-induced. Things that we imagine, things that we place upon ourselves unknowingly and sometimes on purpose that cause us problems and our way to be more difficult. And we also know as families there can be problems. There can be problems in marriage. There can be problems with children. There can be problems with parents. And we can have problems with human relationships. That is something that can and does happen in this life. There is no guarantee that they will not. We also understand that there is physical suffering due to sickness, due to disease, due to tragedy, and due to death. All of us who lived in this life very long have all been touched by these things. We've been touched with infirmity. We've been touched with sickness. We've had to deal with personal tragedy. We've had to deal with death. Life and observation teaches us that these things are real. These things must be dealt with, and they are not inescapable. We will have to deal with them. And how you deal with these things are going to have a great deal to say where you will spend eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not how we handle the things that are good that make us who we are. It is the things that we handle that we call adversity and life that teaches us and makes us the people that we are. We can have financial problems. We can have problems with our finances, with our security, things that we plan and things that we try to make amends for the future. And things may not go the way that we planned it. And things may happen that we did not suppose. And they may turn our world upside down financially. And then, of course, you have church problems. They can be wide, they can be varied. It can be indifference. There can be personnel problems. There can be division. There can be strife. There can be contention. And all those things can and do happen. Now, if we would just stop the lesson here, it would just look like life's a big downer, that there's nothing positive or there's nothing good. But you know what? I've told you the bad, and God has told you the bad for a reason. He's told you it ahead of time so you can prepare, so you can arm yourself, so you can know that these things are not what life's all about. Ladies and gentlemen, life is a proving ground. It is an opportunity to demonstrate to God our love for Him, our love for His Word, our trust in Him completely, and our commitment to Him that we want to be with Him forever in heaven. And what we do in this life determines whether that will become a reality. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not the good things and how you handle them that will really determine where you spend eternity. It is how you handle the other things that's going to have a great deal to say where you will be in the after a while. And so we want to focus this study on some things, and we have a tendency sometimes to ask, why me, Lord? Why, when these things happen to me, I question and want to know why me? Many ask, what have I done to deserve this? And I can answer this question. You've done nothing but live in this world. That's all you've done. If you live in this world, it is a package deal. You get the good, you get the bad. You get the just, and you get the injustice. You get the fair, and you get the unfair. You get the good, and you get the evil that men and people can do to you. There is no escaping it. It is part of life. It is part of the thing that we have to deal with on this earth. Why did God let this happen to you? God did not let this happen to you. It happened to you because it's part of life. It happened to you because it happens to everyone. You're not on an island. You're not by yourself. You're not the first one to have difficulty. You're not the first one to get sick. You're not the first one to have family not go the way that you wanted. You're not the first one to have financial problems. You're not the first one to have to deal with personal tragedy. You're not the first, nor will you be the last. And you need to understand that we need to not allow these things to overshadow and cause us to lose sight of what is really important and what we are here to do. Why am I being punished? You're not being punished. You know, remember the blind man in Matthew, in John chapter 9? You remember the question that the disciples asked the Lord? You remember what they said? This blind man, who sinned, him or his parents? And you know, as ridiculous as we think that is, and Jesus correctly answered that neither him nor his parents sinned, do you know there are many people in the world that will look at adversity and will look at difficulty as God punishing them? Now, you know what? There may be things that we're punished about because of sin, because they are the consequence of sin. But God does not directly punish us nor give us what we deserve. But He has told us that we can take in our lives and go in certain directions that will lead us astray from God, that will bring personal consequence. But God does not punish us in a way that He directly intervenes to cause grief in our life. God does not operate that way. Neither will He put us in a protective bubble that no bad or evil comes upon us. That's not going to happen either. And so many of the questions that people ask have nothing at all to do with God. Maybe we should ask, and maybe we seldom ask, why not me? Why not me? I'm part of this world. I'm part of this existence here. I'm growing older every day. I'm growing more feeble. I'm growing older and have to deal with more than I did 20 years ago. And if I live another 20 years, I'll have to deal with things that I don't have to deal with now. But you know, why not me? I'm not special. I'm not somebody that should not have to deal with these things. I should take my turn. I should take whatever comes my way, and I should accept it as part of life. And why me? When we receive the good, or are we blessed? Do we ever consider to ask the question, why me, when God does something good for us, when blessings come upon us and things are going well in this life? Do we ever question God about that and wonder, well, why me, Lord? Why are you blessing me? Why are you giving me all these things? Why is life so good? We never think of doing that. We never think of giving God thanks. But when it goes haywire and when it goes in a way that we didn't plan, all of a sudden, we think God is punishing us or God has left us. Ladies and gentlemen, God has never left us. I remember many, many years ago, I attended a lectureship down in Florida. And it was given by Connie Adams, and the subject was the challenges of suffering. And that was such a powerful lesson that I remember I took my notes and I made a lesson out of it. I was so impressed with the presentation. I couldn't do it as good as Connie did, but I remember one statement that he made that I have never forgotten. He said, the question is, when I suffer and when I'm challenged and my faith is challenged, the question is never where God is, for God is where he always is, ready to help me, ready to aid me, ready to give me help in time of trouble. That is not the question. The question is this, where is my faith? And you know what, brethren? That's true. When we face life when it can be the worst, when we face life when it can be the most difficult, the question that we need to focus on is, where is my trust and where is my faith centered? Is it on me or is it on God? And that's really the question that we need to consider. And so, the focus of our study tonight is that we're going to ask the question, why? What is the real reason we face problems? Why does it happen? Why must it happen? And then, we're going to ask, we all face problems. You, me, nobody's immune. And last, instead of blaming the Lord, we should trust Him to help us when we need Him the most. I will tell you, to be very honest tonight, that I have never understood, when life gets tough, why anybody would turn their back upon God. For it is only through God that you're going to make it through it. It is only through God that you're going to be able to endure it. And it is only by the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering of God that any of us is going to get out of this world alive. It is because of Him and not because of us. And so let us look at these three things tonight very briefly. Number one, the real reason problems exist. The real reason that problems exist, first of all, it is a consequence of sin from the very beginning. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 2, God gave Adam and Eve a very simple law. He said, you can eat of every tree that is in the midst of the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. That was explicit. God said, here is a choice. You can either believe what I've just told you, or you can suffer the consequences. Now, we know the story, and we know in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent deceived Eve, and all he did is add three little letters and one word. He said, God knows that you will not die, that in the day of it, you'll be like God, and you'll be able to discern good from evil. And you know what? There was partial truth in what Satan said. Because when they did eat, they did, and they were able to understand the difference between good and evil. They knew they were naked and they went to sow fig leaves. But they believed the lie. Now, were there a consequence to that? Yes. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, they are driven from the Garden of Eden, from the presence of God. A flaming sword is taken to the tree of life, and they now have been separated by God because of sin. That happened at the beginning, and that still happens today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse number 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You know, despite popular belief, we didn't inherit Adam's sin, but we did inherit some consequences. Number one, we're going to physically die. We're not going to live forever. We're not going to live forever on this earth. Our bodies are going to decay. They are going to return to the dust because that's what God said they would do in Genesis 3:19. And so we inherited physical death. We're going to die. We're going to experience death. Number two, also what we inherited is every time we transgress God's law, there is a consequence. Every time we disobey God, there is a consequence for that action. There is something that we will experience because we chose to disobey God. Adam experienced it, and ladies and gentlemen, you can study your Bible, and you can look at every man and woman who ever went against what God said, who did things their own way, who rebelled against God, and every one of them have something in common. Every one of them paid for that decision. And we will pay for that decision. That is something that's been from the beginning, and something that is still in existence. But another thing we need to understand, another problem is that we can have consequences because of our own sin. Now, we inherited a couple things from Adam, but we really inherit problems from ourselves. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It is a personal matter. Many of the things that we experience in life are experienced because of the decisions that we make. Not because of what Adam did, not because of what he didn't do, but because of what we do. In Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the wise man Solomon wrote, "The way of the transgressor is hard." What does that mean? That means when you go against God, that's a hard way to go. That's a way that will not be profitable. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 9, the Bible makes this simple statement. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Those are things that are eternal principles that no man can get around. We're going to reap what we sow. If we make bad decisions, we're going to get bad results. If we do good things, we're going to get good results. That is an eternal principle. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, the prophet Hosea said, "You wanted the wind, now you're going to reap the whirlwind." You see, there is something that happens because of my decisions. Brethren, when men and women, you or I or anyone else, choose to sin, there is a responsibility to accept the consequences of my choice. And that cannot be gotten around. You know, I have watched people make decisions that I cannot understand. I have watched men destroy their life with a bottle. I have watched men put things in their body through their veins that destroyed their mind, destroyed every good thing they ever had in life, and inevitably destroyed their physical life. And unfortunately, it also destroyed their eternal soul because it kept them away from God. I do not understand, I do not comprehend why men make such decisions. But make them, they do, and when they do, they must suffer the consequences of that decision. That is just the way that it is. Number three, we can suffer because of other people's sin. In Exodus chapter 20, I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to listen to the words of Moses as he's giving the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 5. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." It's talking about idols. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation and to those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." You know what? What happens when a child is not taught the truth? What happens when a child is brought into this world and doesn't know anything about God, is not taught the ways of God, and goes through life not knowing God? Will they suffer because of that? They certainly will. They certainly will. They suffer because of the sins of others. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32, the Bible says, "If one divorces his mate for any other reason than the cause of adultery, they cause their mate to commit adultery." Now, brethren, that passage has some meaning. That means my action can put another soul in jeopardy. That means my decision and my action can place before my mate a temptation that will lead that mate to sin. And God says that I can cause that by my action to another person. In Ezra chapter 10 and verse 44, they decided to make repentance, and Ezra told them that they had to leave their foreign wives, leave their children, if they were going to repent and turn back to God. Now, you know what? They made that decision. You know who suffered because of that decision? Their children and their wives suffered for that decision because they had transgressed God's law. The repentance required that they get out of those ungodly relationships, but those children suffered and those wives suffered because of their actions. It is just a known fact that people can suffer because of the actions of others. A drunk crosses the line in a road and kills somebody head on in the other vehicle. The person was doing nothing wrong, was obeying the traffic laws. Maybe they were a Christian. Maybe they were striving to serve God. Maybe they were a young mother. Maybe they were a young father. And they had a loving husband, had a loving family. And in a snap of the finger, their life is over. Anything fair about that? Anything just about that? No. But it happens, doesn't it? And it happens because of the sins of another person. That can happen, and that does happen. But is that enough? Is that enough to cause me to lose my faith? If it was my daughter, or my son, or my wife, or my husband, or my grandfather, or my grandmother, is it enough to cause me to lose my faith and my soul? It can be. You remember Achan? You remember Achan in Joshua chapter 6? You remember what he did after they took Jericho? God forbid them to take of any of the things in the city, for they belong to God. And he stole some gold and some silver and a Babylonian garment. And the next battle was in the city of Ai, a little bitty old city. They sent 3,000 men up there to take the city, and in the process, 36 men died. Why did they die? Because there was sin in the camp. Because men had transgressed God's law and God was no longer with them. And because God was no longer with them, the enemy was successful and 36 men lost their life because of the greed of one man. Now we make the mistake in consideration that sometimes when we sin, it only hurts us. Oh, it indelibly is going to hurt you. But you know what? It can also hurt other people. We who are parents understand this all too well. Our children can make decisions that we're not very glad that they're making. They could do things that we know that will bring them pain, that will bring them hurt. And there's anything we would do to stop it, but you know we can't. We want to, but we can't. Does that cause us to hurt? Does it give us heartache? Does it give us grief and heart? Yes, it does. Did we do it? No, we didn't do it. But we still experience the pain, don't we? You know why? Because we live in this world and because we have feelings. Because we have emotion. I can wrap my life up with someone, and when you hurt them, you hurt me. You hurt my wife, you hurt me. Why? Because I love her. You hurt my children, you hurt me because I love them. They're part of me. You see, I can be affected by somebody's actions towards somebody other than myself. You hurt my brethren, you hurt me, because I love my brethren. You see, that is just part of life. But brethren, we can't let it discourage us enough to give up. We can't throw in the proverbial towel. We can't whine about it. We can't wallow in self-pity and wonder why me. It's just one of those things we have to deal with. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But it will happen. I've seen it happen, you've seen it happen. And you know the difference between the man or the woman that lets it strengthen their faith and the one that lets it destroy it? What's the difference? You know what the difference is? The difference is in trust and commitment to God. One person has a stronger faith and resolve to trust God and another one didn't. And that's why it's different. But that will happen. You see, man is a free will. He can make choices, and you know what? He can make the wrong one. This was one of the most difficult things as a parent. I could teach him what the right choice was, but I couldn't make it for him. I could give him every reason why to do the best thing. I could show him in God's Word. I could show him. I could do it. Tell him by experience, by the mistakes I made. I could do all of that, but I couldn't make him make the right choice, could I? How do you think God feels? God leaves the record. God leaves a way. God gives all His knowledge that we need to live this life, and He gives us the experience of people who failed the test, and then we go and do it anyway. How do you think God feels? That's part of the risk of free choice. Men can make bad decisions. Choice means there are consequences. You make good decisions, there's good consequences. You make bad decisions, there are bad consequences. Chumps choices bring grief and suffering. You know what? I have seen men and women make choices that have caused so much pain and so much suffering to other people. It's just unbearable. Why do they do it? Why do men and women make such decisions? If I knew the answer to that, I'd write a book. I don't know the answer to that, except that that's what they choose to do. And you know what? You may even suffer for the cause of Christ. I have seen people do that. You've known of people that have done that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I know a 17-year-old boy that determined to obey the gospel, and his parents were Roman Catholic, and they said, if you obey the gospel, you're out of this house this hour, this night. They obeyed the gospel, and they were true to their word. His bags were packed, and he was out the door. Now, you know what? We just don't think things like that happen, but they do happen. I have seen men and women who had to turn their back on everything they knew, everything that they grew up with and thought was right. When they learned the truth and they learned they were wrong, they had to turn their back against it, and it's a hard thing to do. But yet they did it because they love Christ more than they love their life. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 10? He says, when you suffer for doing right, blessed are you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, it's a blessing to be persecuted for doing what's right. And you know, sometimes today, I think we don't understand that we're persecuted. When men and women oppose the things that are moral, the things that are right, the things that are honorable, and they dismiss us as being in the minority, and that we're just narrow-minded in our thinking, and we're living in the Victorian age, and we're trying to be moralist, and we're trying to be the conscience of society, and they try to belittle us, brethren, that's persecution. And you see it every day. You see it more and more every day. If you have any conviction, if you have any morals, if you have any convictions, we're the problem. Listen to society. We're the problem. We're the one that's causing it to be uncomfortable because we want people to come to a certain standard. No, that God wants them to come to a certain standard. And so these problems are real and they exist. Violation of national law. You jump off a cliff, you're going to die. The law of gravity is not going to be suspended because you made a bad decision. If a fire comes through your house and you happen to be home and you don't be able to get out because of smoke inhalation and you die, that's just natural law. That can happen. We have natural phenomena. There's an earthquake. There are tornadoes. I don't know how many of you have ever been through an earthquake. It's quite different. The ground shakes and you do nothing but hope it stops shaking. Go somewhere, where are you going to go? Wherever you go, it's still shaking. And all you do is hope that it's not 10 on a Richter scale, and you hope that you're not under the rubble when it stops. You know, it's a frightening thing. Remember the pictures of the tsunami? Can you imagine water moving 500 miles an hour? Can you imagine just taking every drop of water out of a river, out of a lake, and then in a few minutes, just bringing it all back again and destroying anything that's in its path? We all know about tornadoes. Any of you that live around here, we know all about that. We know the destruction that they can bring. Lightning, floods, natural occurrences, they happen all day. They happen every day somewhere in the world. There is some natural calamity. How would you like to be in Oklahoma? We think it's cold here. They had ice so bad that they couldn't get out of their houses for 3 days a couple weeks ago. Everything was down, the power lines, and telephone lines, everything, because they were frozen and they broke. You know what? It's always worse for someone else. I don't know if that should be some comfort, but maybe it is. You know, everybody suffers. Everybody has difficulty. As my grandfather said, Keith, if you live long enough, you'll probably meet the person who has it worse off than you do. We wouldn't recognize bad if it wasn't for the good. You'd have nothing to compare it to. You wouldn't know the bad if it wasn't for the good. And so we have to deal with these things. But none of them, listen to me very carefully, none of them can destroy your faith unless you allow it to. It doesn't have the ability. It can take your life. It can take your possessions. It can make your life tough. It can make your life unbearable. It can fill your heart with pain and grief. But it can't take your crown unless you give it to Him. God didn't give it that much power. You're the only one that can give it that kind of power. God said that it can't do that if you trust Him. We all face problems, even me. Good and evil. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse number 22. For that we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains even until now. Whenever I think about evil and when I think about problems, I always think about Job. Job is a person I always give a lot of credit to, because when I read the character of Job, he is given a command. He is commended. His life is commended by the highest person. His life's commendation came from God. He said he was blameless, said he was upright, said he was devout, said he feared God. And that compliment didn't come from man, that came from God. Here is a good man. What happened to this good man? He suffered, and he suffered greatly. He lost his property in a day. He lost his servants. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost the faith of his wife because she was troubled at all the things that was happening to Job. And his friends turned on him. You think you got it bad? Read about Job. Everything in life that could help him all of a sudden turned against him. But I want you to remember the words of Job. And you know what the most remarkable thing about the story of Job is? Turn to Job chapter 1. The most remarkable thing in the study of Job is what he does after all these things happen to him. When all these things happen to him and come upon him, and then he has to consider God, what did he say in Job chapter 1? Look at the last couple of verses of Job chapter 1. Beginning in verse 21. Now let's read verse 20. Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground. I want you to look at the next word. And worshiped. What? Worshiped? Worshiped God? He lost everything in a day. Everything. His prosperity, his health, his children, his respect from others. Worship? Why? Look at 21. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. And you know, whenever we look at Job, we think that he was somebody special. Oh, he was somebody special, but he was a man. And he was a man that faced adversity, and he faced it very readily, very quickly, and very completely. But the difference between Job and me is he understood the bigger picture. And you know what? That's the lesson. Job understood that he lost all these temporal things, But he knew that there was something greater for him to be concerned about. And brethren, we'd do well if we'd learn that. We'd do well if we learn that the temporal things are okay if we lose them, as long as we don't lose the eternal things. That's the thing we need to worry about more than anything else. But you know what? We're creatures of what we worry about now. But listen to me very carefully. You worry about now and you may lose more than now. It's bad to lose now, but if you lose now and you lose later, then you really lost. I can experience the first if I can have the second. I pray every day that God allows me to have that attitude. If I lose everything here, don't let it cause me to lose my soul. Now, I've learned a long time ago in my life, don't ever say what you'll do if you're faced with a situation because you don't know. You know what you should do. We all know what we should do, but we won't know what we'll do until we're faced with it. Have you ever put yourself in the Job's shoes? Have you really honestly looked at your life and put yourself in Job's shoes and think you could do that? You could fall down and worship God and thank Him for what's going on in your life? Could you do that? We know we should be able to do that, but could we do that? We could do that if we understand there's more at stake than these temporal things. Remember David? Read the 55th Psalm. You want someone that was torn up with grief because of the actions, his own action, because of his own sin? Read the 55th Psalm. David was grieved to the inside and grieved deeply because he failed his Lord. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to blame anybody. He accepted the full responsibility of his actions. But the thing that made David a man after God's own heart is he repented and he did better. And you know what? That's all God's asked of any of us. He's asked us to learn from our mistakes, to repent, and do better. That's what God asks, nothing more. But when you think about difficulty, you think about the Lord. You know, we often look at Jesus because he's God, that what he went through physically is really not that great a thing. But brethren, we need to reconsider that. Our Lord suffered greatly in the flesh. He was rejected in John 1 verse 11. It says that he came to his own and his own received him not. He was beaten. He was beaten and scourged simply because he would not deny who he was. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was made fun of simply because he did not give them what they wanted. And that is an earthly kingdom and an earthly king. Because he didn't assent to their demands, they ridiculed him and they mocked him. And then one of his trusted 12 betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, a price of a slave. And then he was taken out in Luke chapter 23 and he was subjected to the most cruel of all death that can be inflicted by Rome and one of the cruelest death that man can experience even to this day and time, the death of crucifixion that was reserved for those who were hardened criminals. But you know what I remember most about my Lord is when he hung between heaven and earth and he was on that cross and he made the fateful statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what he did in death? He lived his life to the end. He practiced what he preached to the last breath in his body. He never allowed what the world did to him to ever diminish the love that he had for them and the love that he had for God. Would to be that we could learn that lesson. That we could never allow the things of this world, the difficulty, the tragedy, the overwhelming things that happen to us, that we can never allow it to lose our love and our commitment to God. Would that we could learn that lesson. That's why Jesus lived his life in the flesh, so we could know that it can be done. Yes, it can be done. Paul was persecuted. He had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord to remove it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. No one suffered like the Apostle Paul for his faith and for his commitment to God. And yet, he didn't whine. He didn't complain. He didn't ask, why me? He didn't ask for reprieve. He accepted it. And all Christians in the first century, they were scourged. Every son has been scourged. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. All who live godly will suffer persecution, and God's children suffer with him. Yes, we'll suffer. Yes, we'll be maligned. Yes, we'll have difficulty. But They cannot kill us. They cannot, if they killed us physically, they can't steal our crown. Now last, don't blame God. Don't do that. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. Why would we blame God? Equate problems with punishment for sin. The reason we're suffering is because of sin, not because of God. The reason we're suffering because we made bad choices. The reason that we're suffering because other people made bad choices. The reason we're suffering because we live in this world. Don't blame God for that. Put the blame where it belongs. It belongs to Satan. It doesn't belong to God. It belongs to Satan. And that's where you should put it. Too high of an opinion of self. If others suffer, that's fine, but not me. No, friend. That's too high of an opinion. Every one of us in this audience, do you want to suffer? No. Do you want to have difficulty in life? No. Do you want to have heartache? No. Do you want to have bad things happen? No. All of us would say no. But we're still, it's going to happen. So what should we do about it? Prepare for it. Be ready for it. Expect it. Deal with it. Don't allow it to destroy you. You know what? It's bad enough it can hurt you physically. But would you also allow it to hurt you spiritually? You see, our problems and adversity cannot hurt us spiritually. We have to do that ourselves. That's the key. To understand that that's all they can do. That's all life can do to you. It can't do anything else. It can't rob your crown. It can't reach you in the grave. That's all it can do. But if it hurt you spiritually, you did that. God didn't do that, and not even Satan did that. You did that. When you allow it to ruin your faith, when you allow it to weaken your resolve, when you lose your commitment, when you lose your love for God, you did that. God did not do that. And Satan did not do that. You allowed that to be done, and you gave in. You caved in. God says, don't do it. It's a foolish decision. You know what? God cares about us. You know when that passage says, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you? Those are not idle words. God is concerned about your well-being. God is concerned about your life. God is concerned about the things you deal with. God wants to help you, but He can't help you if you don't let Him. He wants us all to be saved. He's done everything in His power. You know what? Jesus and the Father have done everything possible to make it possible for men to be saved. What more could they do? What more could God and the Son do in order to make salvation possible? Nothing. He always provides what we need to persevere. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? Do you believe when the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you will never allow anything this life can throw at you to derail you, to cause you to lose your crown, to cause you not to gain heaven. But you know, in conclusion tonight, things are going to try your faith. There's no getting around it. Our faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tested, and it must be in order to be proven. But they can make us stronger, or they can make us weaker. Who determines that? Who determines if the trials of my life make me stronger or make me weaker? I do. You do. Each of us do. It can purify us or cause us to return to the world's definer. They can purify us. They can cleanse us. They can make us stronger. They can make us more commitment. Or they can allow us to return to what we left. You choose. It can soften your heart. Or it can harden it. I have been in rooms, in hospitals, and I have seen men. And I have seen women that will allow things that happen in those rooms to shout out that they hate God and they'll never offer another prayer to God because they blamed God for what happened. I have seen men and women do it. And I've seen men and women of faith do it. Why? Because our trials and our difficulties do one or two things. They strengthen us or they weaken us. They cause us to cling more or they cause us to resist. Every problem, every tragedy, every difficulty, every obstacle that this world and Satan places in front of us has the ability to do one or the other. What it does is determined by what I do. God is there to help me. His word is there to strengthen me. His brethren, we're here to help and to encourage, to help you bear your burden. But there is part of it that nobody can bear but you. And you either bear it, or you allow it to destroy you. Either way it goes, in the final analysis of things, the only person that you can blame will be yourself. Not God. Not the world. Not society. Not Satan. But you and me. Please take your songbooks and turn to the song that's been selected. Here's my final question to you tonight. Will we face and overcome our problems, or will we allow them to overcome us? You choose, you decide.